Lord. Would we be the voice of your Holy Spirit so we receive what you want to give us tonight, Lord. We say, God, fill our cups tonight, Jesus. Fill our hearts, God. We're hungry. We desire you in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. How many of you know that we serve a good God? Amen. We serve a God whose love endures forever. We serve a God who is mighty, who is able, church. We serve a God who is powerful. Amen. We serve a God who's undefeated in battle. Amen. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I'm so grateful for who the Lord is. I'm so thankful in the power of God because he is righteous, church. He is holy. He's able to deliver. He is able to save. I know the Lord that way. You know, I heard it said this way one time that, you know, as a preacher, as a pastor, you were never supposed to teach something about God that you had not yet experienced. Now, I believed that for a minute because I said, well, you know what, that kind of makes sense. You know, it's kind of like me talking about marriage if I wasn't married. You know, it'd be kind of like, well, how would you know? You're not married. But I believe that the Word of God is the fullness of God, and the Word of God is to be preached whether you and I have encountered it or not. Amen? But I'm here to testify something that is so true in my life. When I say that he is a rescuer, I know exactly what that means. Amen? God has rescued me from my sin. God has rescued me from a life of bondage. God has rescued me from a path that was going to lead me into darkness. When I use those words and that terminology, it's because I know him that way. Amen? Do you know him that way tonight? Do you know him as rescuer, as redeemer, as the one who's freed your soul, the one who made your soul come alive? See, I know him that way. And I want to get into the word tonight. I love this chapter of the Psalms. If you have your Bible, please open up to Psalms 107. And I've taught from this chapter before, but I love this chapter because, man, there's so much in here, I believe, that the Lord just can show us tonight. And so if you open up to Psalms 107 and verse 1, it says this: give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Amen. How many of you want to give thanks to the Lord right now? Amen. Come on now. For what? Because it says he's good. Amen. I have a good God. I serve a good God. I don't serve a wicked God. I don't serve a God that is false, that's fake. I don't serve a God that is a liar. I serve a God that is good. Amen. And it says his love endures forever. His love endures forever, church. You cannot exhaust the love of God. You cannot run out of the love of God. You cannot outrun the love of God. His love endures forever. Verse 2 says, so let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Amen. Those that he redeemed from the hand of the foe. The reason I opened up saying that I can call him rescuer and I can call him my freer, I can call him all these things is because I am the redeemed. I am the one who is able to tell that story and testify of what God has done in my life. Amen. How about you? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of God tell their story. You see, if the Lord has shown you love, if the Lord has shown you his goodness, if the Lord has shown you that redemptive power, then I want you one more time, church, to just give God praise. Amen? It's for Jesus. Amen? I can see Sister Pearl smile all the way from the back because she knows what God has done for her. See, I know what God has done for me. He's redeemed me by the blood of the Lamb. His blood was shed for you and for me. His life was poured out upon that ugly cross. He sacrificed it all. He willingly laid it all down because he loves you. And I'm thankful for that tonight. I think sometimes, church, at least I pray that we don't, but I pray that we are never desensitized to the fact that God loves us. And what he went through to show us that love, church, it should always move your heart. Amen? Not because it's about emotionalism or anything like that, but because the fact is if you know what he's done for you, you can't help but give him praise. You can't help but be thankful. I was looking at my kids last night. We had a awards dinner for at the school that, you know, we help at, and my wife teaches at, and I shared a photo of my girls that my wife took of me, and I was looking at my girls, and I have a 14-year-old and a 12-year-old now. And I can remember, it seems like yesterday, that we had a three-bedroom house with two people living in it, and there was no children that were filling those rooms. And I remember how, through that season of our life, it was a prayer of ours that one day we would have children. And as I was looking at this photo that I shared online, and I share, I guess, stuff from time to time, but really all I do is I brag on my family and I brag on the church. So those are probably the most important things in my life. But as I was looking at my girls, there was just tears. I was kind of like crying myself to sleep because I was seeing the faithfulness of God. I was seeing the goodness of God in my life. I said, Jesus, you've been so good to me. You've been so wonderful. I don't deserve those treasures, God. But I prayed and I cried out and I asked you and we believed. And God, you showed up. You showed up. God, church, is not an absent father. Amen. God is a perfect father. He's never late, church. He does not forget. He does not allow things in your life to go unnoticed. And the Bible says in Psalms 8, verse 4, love this verse. It says, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? And human beings that you care for them? Such a perfect and holy and wonderful God, and yet he looks at you. He looks at me. He sees our hearts. He sees our needs. Amen. Isaiah 46 and verse 4 says this. And I guess this verse is becoming more and more relevant to me. DJ said I looked old today. No, I'm just kidding. We saw a photo of me, and it was like 2 years ago. And he's like, man, he zoomed in. He's like, you look so different. I was like, it was only 2 years ago. But listen to what he says in Isaiah 46, 4. It says, even to your old age and gray hairs, it says, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. He said, I have made you, and I will carry you, and I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. Did you know, church, that God carries us from birth to death? Amen. God carries you and sustains you through rising, turbulent waters. God carries you and I when our knees are weak and feeble, and he rescues you and I when we are in a state of emergency. He says, I am he who will sustain you. What shocks me, though, church, is while we're all acknowledging that about God right now in this moment, as the Lord is speaking to you, what shocks me, though, from time to time is this, is when I hear men of God or women of God or people of God be so impressed by the size of their problems. It shocks me, it kind of, you know, startles me, if you will, because you know, you see people and they're losing their mind because they're going through something and they're saying, oh man, you know, I don't know what's going to happen and I don't know how we're going to figure it out and all these kinds of things. And listen, I can stand here and admit to you that I have done those very things. We all have at one point or another, amen? You know, you found yourself in, you know, and all of a sudden something happens, some kind of news hits, and it just takes you back. It shakes your faith, and you find yourself just, you know, allowing these situations that you're facing to somehow grow a equality with God in your own mind. It's as if God is shrinking and the problem is growing. And that you don't serve this God who is a rescuer, and you don't serve this God who is one who is able to take you out of any fire, any storm. It's as if circumstances multiply to this epic proportion where all of a sudden God seems so small and so unable, church. What happens in this time when this occurs, it's not only a lack of faith in that moment, but it's also placing limitations on a God that do not exist. When we allow issues and circumstances and problems to be over-magnified, or certainly to magnify themselves in an equal to proportion, then the God that we serve, church, that doesn't prove that we have any faith at all. It proves that our faith is in the thing that we need and not in the God that we serve. But I want to tell you something tonight, church. Many times your breakthrough will begin when you refuse to be impressed with the size of the problem that you face. Many times that very thing that it is that you need, that you have praying for God to do in your life or to happen in your life, many times you will see God work in your favor, church, when you refuse to be impressed by the issue at hand. Where you say, you know what? My God is able. My God is more than able to do what it is that I need and what it is that I am praying for. It's Peter in that moment walking to Jesus and giving Jesus his attention during that moment. And it was him looking at Jesus as the storm silencer in that moment, church, and not on the storm itself. You see, that's what faith looks like. Amen? It's looking at the one who is calling you and saying, I'm going where you are at, Jesus. Even if that meant stepping out of a boat onto a raging sea. That's what faith looks like. It's Daniel in the lion's den. Despite having this hungry group of lions around him, Daniel prayed, amen? Now, he wasn't saying, God, you know, bless their meal that they're about to partake of. No, he believed and he trusted. Now, I don't know about you. I mean, you know, I've never, you know, I've been to the zoo, I guess. That's probably the closest I've ever been to a lion. And I've seen these animals, you know, within a distance. And I mean, they're ferocious, they're powerful, they're these great, you know, beasts, and they're even called the king of the jungle. And I can't imagine being thrown in an enclosed room with lions. It didn't matter if it was this big. I'd still feel like I was about to be dinner. And it's striking to me how somebody could be in a situation like that and still say, but I have a God. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 16 says this. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel, and they threw him into the lion's den. And the king said to Daniel, may your God whom you serve continually rescue you. May the God who you serve, Daniel, and he's the one throwing him in there, by the way. He's like, may the God who you serve continually rescue you. Verse 17 says, a stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace, and he spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. And at the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. And when he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually been able to rescue you from the lions? And Daniel answered. See, that's all the proof that you need. Right now, it doesn't even really matter what Daniel said. The fact that he answered tells you that, guess what? God was on his side, amen? The fact that he wasn't dinner last night tells you everything that you need to know. But Daniel said, may the king live forever. May the king of glory, may the king of all righteousness, may the king of kings live forever. Because guess what? That is the king that Daniel served, amen? It didn't matter what earthly king could lock him up or put him in a situation that was going to seem like it was going to take this young man's life. But Daniel said, I have a king who is above you, sir. I have a king who is greater. Amen. Psalms 34 and 22 says, the Lord will rescue his servants. It says, no one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. Psalm 55 and 18 says, he rescues me unharmed from the battle waged against me, even though many oppose me. Psalm 91 and 14, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him and I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. I don't know whose report you believe in your life, but I would encourage you to believe the report of the Lord. Amen. In other words, I don't know what station you get your news from, but guess what? There is a good news that supersedes any news that you'll ever hear in this life. Amen. And that's called the gospel. That's called the word of God. That's called the living and active God that we serve. Amen. He is a God that still rescues. I said, he is a God that still rescues. I got an interesting text, you know, on my way home, just a few minutes before I was about to head this way. And I got a prayer request, and we're going to pray for this individual. Somebody remind me, please, but pray for this individual after service. But it was a brother who I haven't seen in a while, a couple of years probably, and reached out. He said, Pastor, there's this situation that my wife is going through. Without getting into too many details, there was just, it is a very in need of rescue situation, to say the least. It is a very dire situation. And in reading this text and these details and all of this stuff that it was saying, organ failure and blood issues and all kinds of stuff, I couldn't help but kind of remember what I was preparing to share with you tonight. And I sent him a voice message and I said, Brother, we have a God who is able to rescue. We have a God, brother, who is able to rescue. I said, and I'm going to pray for you. And as you listen to this, believe in faith. Believe in faith that the Lord is able. And I began to pray over them. And I'm trusting and believing that the Lord is going to do something amazing in their life. Amen. But my prayer is this, church, is that our faith would be stirred, that our faith would be moved in such a way to be reminded of the authority that you and I carry in Christ. And so back to Psalms 107. We see that there's a couple people here, and you can write them down, the wanderers, the lost, and the hungry. And in Psalms 107, verse 4, it says this, some wandered in the desert, in the wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. Verse 5 says they were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. It says, and then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. I want you to see who he's speaking of here. The Lord is speaking of the Israelites. These verses are describing the Israelites, and they were wandering in the desert for a period of time. They were in exile after Egypt and being exiled from Egypt. And so in their moments, church, of hunger and thirst, the Bible says that they cried out to the Lord. Amen. They cried out to the Lord. They didn't cry out to McDonald's. They didn't cry out to, you know, themselves to find a solution to their hunger or their thirst. They cried out to the Lord. Now, I have to emphasize that just for a second, because there's things that you and I go through. We hunger, we thirst, we wander, we're confused, we're in need of guidance, in need of direction, and we phone a friend, we talk to somebody about it, we Google it, we do all kinds of things instead of crying out to the Lord. Because for some reason we think that the solution or the answer is going to come from some man-made ability that you and I possess within ourselves. Sometimes we think it's something that we can manufacture on our own, something that you and I can tangibly reconstruct for the own favor and direction of our life. And can I tell you something, church? All we needed to do was pray. All we need to do is pray. All we needed to do, see, these guys were wandering in a wasteland. They were wandering in the desert. They didn't have any kind of end in sight. They didn't have, you know, the ability in that moment to just pull water out of the ground. They didn't have that ability. So what does the Bible say that they do? They didn't try to find a way. They went to the way. They didn't try to find some kind of solution. They said, well, shoot, man, maybe we better dig. Maybe we'll eventually find water. Start digging, guys. You know, like, no, they weren't trying to do that. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. How many times do we allow distress to stay longer than it needs to when all we needed to do was cry out to him? How many times, church, do we allow things to linger in our life because we're too stubborn or sometimes too faithless or sometimes too whatever to just simply cry out to the Lord? Pastor said it this way one time, and he was talking about, you know, I guess just circumstances and things like that. And he said, you know what? If it really matters to you, you'll bring it to God. And I think he was like, you know, kind of doing like an altar call. And he said, if it really matters, you'll pray. And I remember seeing, you know, a handful of people that, you know, responded. And they went and they cried out to God on their own. But I also saw another handful of people that I wonder if they were going through things, but they just said, guess it's not big enough for me to pray about. Can I tell you something, church? Not every need needs to be the biggest thing that you've ever gone through for you to pray to God. It could be the smallest thing that you've ever dealt with, but guess what? If you don't know the answer, just take it to him. It doesn't have to be this life monumental decision, who you're going to marry, where you're going to live, you know, you're going to make this gigantic purchase. It doesn't have to be those things where you cry out to him. It can be the simplest things. Lord, show me who to speak to today. God, show me, Lord, which you know, place I need to go, Father. Just tell me, God, the next step. For them, they were in distress. And they met a deliverer from that place. Amen. Since our conception and birth, church, you and I have eaten food. Amen. Now, I believe that some of us, you know, at one time or another, we can go longer periods of time or shorter periods of time, you know, before, you know, without eating, right? And at some point, though, you have to eat. Amen. If anybody's ever gone like hours without eating, you know, it's challenging. How many of you have ever fasted? Amen. And when you fast, you know, it's not easy because everything in your flesh says you're hungry, you're hungry, you're hungry, you need to eat now, right? And you pray and you ask the Lord for strength and you peek in the fridge and then you're like, no, 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 you know. And God strengthens you and he strengthens you and he strengthens you. But there's this great battle in our flesh in that moment. And I remember those, you know, Snickers commercials that say, you know, they show somebody that's all mad and all angry, right? You know, because they haven't eaten something. And sometimes the thing that we truly need will allow us to get in places of frustration because you're frustrated because you don't have what you need. And some of you are frustrated because he's who you need, but you're looking in other places. You're seeking answers that are outside of God. God's people find themselves wandering, lost, and hungry in a wasteland, but they cried out to him, and he rescued them. Psalms 107 verse 7 says this, and he led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. And let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. It says, for he satisfies the thirsty. Notice, let me go back to the beginning of verse 9. Who satisfies the thirsty? He does. He does. He didn't say your job satisfies your thirst. He didn't say your wealth satisfies your thirst. He didn't say the relationship that you want or desire is going to satisfy your thirst. It says he satisfies your thirst. And he fills the hungry with good things. Amen. But see, this happens, church, only when you cry out to God. There's something that's genuine. I believe that, you know, some people are just loud, right? Some people are just loud. But I believe there's something that's different. If you were going through some crazy thing, a fire in your home or something, and you knew a loved one was still inside, and you were outside that house, I guarantee you would be screaming at the top of your lungs for help. Amen? Because your loved one is in there. See, it's that kind of distress that should cause you to cry out to him. But if it's something that you think you can handle on your own, then you'll never reach out. See, when the people of God cry out to the Lord, he will deliver them. And God can, and he can do all things, because nothing is impossible for what? For God. But guess what, church? He will do no thing unless you and I pray. Unless you and I bring it to him. There are times, church, where heaven will not move unless two or three witnesses are gathered in his name. Amen. Matthew 18 and 18 says, truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You see, this church is a covenant agreement that the Lord has made with his people. But unless you pray, unless you cry out, unless you go to the Lord, unless you bind or loose then the obstacle or the issue or the mountain or the problem or the circumstance will remain. That's just the truth. 1 John 5 and 13 says this. He said, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Verse 14, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. You see, but the Lord is waiting for you. The Lord is waiting for your cry. He's waiting for you to pray, because he has the answer. He is the solution. Amen. But how many of you know, church, that one of the greatest forms of pride is to simply ignore and not consult the God of the universe? Imagine needing something in a world of the creator who created it. That's like living in HEB and saying you're hungry. Well, ask him. There's food. Mr. HEB, I'm sure, could provide the food that you need. But our pride sometimes, church, keeps us straight-legged. And it keeps us fixated on fixing things on our own instead of bending our knees and humbling ourselves before God to cry out to him for the answer. Amen. I believe that there's times, church, where God will look at your health, your finances, your worries and burdens, and I believe that he could say to every one of us, am I not enough? Am I not enough? Oh, but God, I need, am I not enough? Oh, but God, if I only have, am I not enough? Is he not enough in your life? Everyone say this with me. Say, he is more than able. Psalm 107 verse 10 says this. There were some who sat in the darkness. They sat in utter darkness. They were prisoners suffering in iron chains because they rebelled against God's commands and they despised the plans of the Most High. Verse 12 says, so he subjected them to bitter labor and they stumbled and there was no one to help. Did you know, church, that when you fall back into sin and you choose sin, it's like you're willingly putting on the chains of bondage on your life all over again. See, the very things that God has set you free from, you are again clothing yourself, not in the glory and the goodness of God, but in your old grave clothes. Amen. Those are things that we are picking up that God has freed you from. Amen. And listen to what this verse says. The verses we're describing, it says, they rebelled against God's plans. They despised God's plans. You see, when you despise God's plans, it's because you think that your plan is better. Amen? You're like, come on, God. Like, you know, I'm certain, God, that, you know, I can handle it. And God is saying, no. Trust me, my plan is much better than yours. And when we despise God's plans, church, when you and I think, you know what, that how could this be? Why am I going through this season, God? Why am I still here? Why is this happening and all these kinds of things? And you don't realize that God has a plan behind all of that, and you're despising that season of your life maybe that God has you in. Church, that is arrogance and pride. Amen? It is arrogance and pride for you and I to think that somehow we have a better plan than the one who has written everything in this world. Sometimes our own intellect gets in the way. Sometimes our own feelings or emotions get in the way. But can I tell you, church, you and I are nothing without the Lord. I'm not here to put you down. I'm just here to tell you, church, we are what? We are the branches, and He is the vine. You and I will never bear fruit outside of Him. You and I will never bear fruit unless you and I cling to Jesus every single day of our life. Amen. These people, though, realized that they were shackled and they were chained. And in verse 13, it says this, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And he saved them from their distress. And what happened? He brought them out of darkness. The utter darkness, and He broke away their chains. Verse 15 says, let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for mankind. For He breaks down gates of bronze, and He cuts through bars of iron. You see, it doesn't matter how lost you and I are or have been. Doesn't matter in what place you found yourself. You could have said, you know what? I was in the darkest place of my life. I was in chains. I was in bondage. And you know what? I even found myself going back to those very same things. Listen, church, what does He say here? They cried out to Him in their trouble. And what did He do? He saved them from their distress. He saved them from their distress. He broke the chains off of their life, the very things that were holding them in bondage, church. This is what God does when you pray. This is what God is able to do when you pray. And so if your life is completely shackled, if your life is completely tied down, if you find yourself, you know, there's a wrestling with the things of the darkness, if you find yourself going back to those places of bondage, listen to me, church. Like the perfect Father that He is, He will rescue His child every single time if you genuinely cry out to Him and say, God, I need You. Jesus, I need You. This is what the scripture proves, church, that He would send forth light to destroy that darkness, and He will cut through every chain that held you down, because this is the kind of God that you and I serve. Amen. Psalm 107 and 17 says, some even became fools through their rebellious ways, and they suffered affliction because of their iniquities. I know I've been a fool a time or two. I know I've been stubborn a time or two. I know maybe even because of my stubbornness, I found myself suffering. Found myself in a place because, you know what, I said, God, I'm just not willing to bend yet, not willing to surrender. I think that's all of us at times, amen? How many of you know, church, that the wages of sin is what? It's death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Sin wants to separate you. Sin wants to keep you from God because of your shame. And some of you might be suffering, you know, from self-inflicted shame or self-inflicted wounds in your life, and the devil doesn't even have to point his finger at you because you willingly and knowingly know what you have done because you have run into sin. And the Bible tells us something, church, that's very important that we must never forget. Colossians 3 and 5 says this. It says, put to death. Everybody say, put to death. Colossians 3, 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Kill it. It is killing you. Amen. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. As if running into sin, church, wasn't enough, the Bible says that God's people in Psalm 107 and verse 18 says this. Verse 18 says, they loathed all the food and they drew near to the gates of death. As if being in sin wasn't like the worst thing that they could do, they complained while they were there. They complained about what God had already been providing for them as the answer, as the bread that they needed to sustain them. But yet they said, you know what? I would rather draw near to the gates of death. I would rather stand right next to that place where my life could possibly end. Right next to the wages of sin. But what does he say? Verse 19. And then they cried out to the Lord. Then they cried out to the Lord. Pastor Duke, these people sound so crazy, so foolish, so stubborn, so like they just don't get it. I think they sound like us. Amen. I think they sound like us. But what? Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And what did he do? He saved them from their distress. Verse 20, and he sent out his word and he healed them and he rescued them from the grave. Verse 21, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Verse 22, let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. The scripture was saying, even though they were full of sin, they were complainers of what God had done for them. Think about that. That's like the most arrogant thing that you could do. Amen. Even though they were full of sin, they were still complaining about the very things that God had done for them. It's like, man, you should be really humble right now. You should be really mindful right now that the God of the heavens and the earth, the God who is able to do all these things, the God who is able to heal, the God who is able to save, all of these things, you should be really, really mindful right now that you're not complaining to the one who is able to rescue you, who you're not looking at and spiting in all these kinds of things. How can the created talk back to the Creator? But the Bible says in an instant, church, they cried out to the Lord, amen? And when they cried out to him, what did he do? He saved them, amen? And he sent out his word and he healed them. He healed them of that wretched, wicked disease that kept them in that cycle that they were in over and over and over and over again. First they're wandering, and then they're lost, and then they're hungry, and then they're rebellious, and then they're sinful, and then they went back and they did all of these things. And guess what? He sent his word and he said, I will heal you. I can stop the cycle. I can put an end to all of this. I can save you. See, that's the kind of God that I need. That's the kind of God that we all need. Amen. A rescuing God, a God who will save you, church, from the grave. I don't know about you, but I have found myself at times going back to the places that God rescued me from. And I can stand here as a witness of God's mercy and power. But every time I cried out to him and said, Lord, forgive me. I know, as his word says, that he separated my sin as far as the east is from the west. To cleanse and to purify all over again. So what does the psalm say? Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love. Right there where you are, just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for rescuing us. Thank you, God, for helping us. Thank you, God, for not giving up on us. Thank you, God, for the millions of chances. Thank you, Lord. I think about that ending part of that verse and about ready to wrap it up.